And if you believe that that Jesus lives in you, then when you lay hands on somebody, just remember, Jesus is laying hands on that person.
Right.
And He is just as much a healer today as He was then. He is consistent. I'll tell you why people think that sometimes He heals and sometimes He doesn't. Is because that's what they're hearing in churches from people that haven't ever walked by faith. And if there's a failure, folks, it's not the Lord's failure. It's our failure. Right? And you got to be stubborn. Let me tell you something. You got to be stubborn. I mean, just as you were stubborn in the world to believe what you believed in the world, you got to be stubborn to believe what you believe now, because the devil's trying to talk you out of it every day. He's trying to talk you out of it. He'll use well-meaning Christians. The overwhelming majority of Christians around you will try to talk you out of your faith. So you just got to be stubborn and not double-minded like the world. It's the double-minded that don't receive from the Lord. God is so merciful. You know, the devil, you need to close all the loopholes. Because if there's one there, the devil's going to come to you and say, yeah, but what about this? And if you haven't researched it to find out the truth, and haven't really respected the Word of God above everything else, then he's going to talk you out of it. But just remember that when Jesus was healing those people that had a covenant with Him, those were those stubborn, stiff-necked Jews that came to Him, and He was healing them, folks. Today, you think, well, maybe I don't deserve it. Well, that's right, you don't. And maybe you won't give it to me because I don't deserve it. Nope, you're wrong. Just remember what Jesus did. He came to the covenant people, and He gave them their covenant right. Now, if you're a covenant person, you've made a covenant with Him through faith in Christ, then you have a right, okay? So, don't let the devil talk you out of it. It's yours. And not only that, it's more than healing. It's all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's what He said, and that's what I believe. So, you know what? Just be stubborn enough not to accept anything else. He will be totally consistent. We've had bones heal. I mean, I don't know how many bones we've had heal, but God's never failed to heal our bones. We've never had a cast or any such thing as that. We've been stitched up. We've had cancers, and we've had glaucomas, and we've had lots and lots of things. You can't raise five kids without having stuff, you know. But God is a consistent healer. Just as consistent as He is to forgive your sins. Who forgiveth, listen, Psalm 103 and verse 3, who forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth all our diseases. He is consistent. How many sins can you go to heaven with, folks? Not a one. If He forgives all of your iniquities, then which one of them is He not forgiven? And in the same verse, He tells you, who healeth all thy diseases. Okay. And not only that, my God shall supply your every need according to His riches and glory. If you've got a need, He will supply it. You don't be double-minded, it's coming. Just hold fast, it's coming. God's been consistent with us. And I tell you what, somebody who hasn't lived the life of faith has got no business preaching and teaching God's people. You understand that all of the early disciples had to be people of faith. You know, the Lord Jesus sent them out. He said, get you no gold and silver in your purses, you know, and carry not a staff or a coat. In other words, He sent them out without their own supply so that they would learn to depend on His. You understand? Because His power is made perfect in our weakness. If you're too strong to save yourself, if you're strong to run to the banker or run to the doctor or run to the psychiatrist or run to all the saviors of the world, if you're strong to go to them, God's not going to be there. You just stop and believe His promises and put Him first and trust in Him. He'll be there. You know, we've been praying that the Lord would get this word out that we've been teaching here and that God's been blessing us with and we put on the site. And folks, He's doing it. Listen, I don't know. I forgot what I last looked. It seemed like it was 150, maybe 157,000 hits on our site since the beginning of August. That's just awesome. People are coming there and listening to those audios and stuff. And not only that, now the Lord's opening a real door for broadcasting, because the Lord has given me real favor with the owner and president of Spirit One Christian Broadcasting Company. I mean, me and him just really hit it off. God just really kind of knitted us together in just a couple of days, you know, and the Lord spoke to him. And he's just a real fine brother in the Lord. He just got a lot of good Christian common sense. He sees through a lot of stuff that the world don't see through. And he recognized me right off. And the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord told him that as he blessed our ministry, God was going to bless his ministry. And he's taken MP3s off of our site. He's broadcasting into Canada and America and Mexico in, I believe, it's shortwave and internet and some AM/FM. And so he's doing a pretty good coverage there. And the Lord's given us favor with him, and he's taking MP3s off of our site, which I said to him, I said, look, these MP3s are hours long. Some of those teachings are 3 and 4 hours, and sometimes went on for several days on top of that. You know? So he said, doesn't matter. He says, I got this space where we don't have any, where we're not broadcasting any program that sometimes I fill up with music. He said, I'll just put that in there. So praise the Lord. You know, it's going out free in that regard. And then, we're talking to American Voice Radio, which is another people. They broadcast in satellite and internet and AM, FM. And so they're covering the same area, Canada, America, and Mexico. And Spirit One, actually, I believe, is overseas, too. They're into Europe and Middle East and, I don't know, maybe North Africa. So, you know, so we're talking to these two groups, and they're pretty well setting us up, I think, with a broadcast on Sunday, which will probably be 9 o'clock Central Time broadcast. It'll be for an hour. Terry's telling me that's a real good time. I spoke when most people come into the room, and sure enough, that's the time they gave us. So it'll be 9 Central Time for 1 hour. And it's going to be simulcast. Both of these broadcasting companies are going to broadcast it, and then they're both going to rebroadcast it during the same week, twice more, each one of them. So that's 6 broadcasts that are going to kind of cover the nation at different hours, at all good hours, because we've looked at the hours. One set of hours actually is going to be the perfect hours for Europe and the Middle East. And so the Lord is just awesomely blessing us. He's given us real favor. And I'd like you all to pray. The brother's name from Spirit One Christian Broadcasting Company is Bob Heppel. He's a fine brother. And I'd like you all to pray with me. He's had some awesome prophecies, just like we have, by the way, concerning radio and stuff, and concerning the things that the Lord's going to do to get the word out. He's had some awesome prophecies about television, and he's looking into buying the equipment. The money hadn't come yet, but he's expecting it to come. And I'm not going to agree with me, because he's the kind of guy that frankly wouldn't put out a bunch of garbage. He wouldn't stand for a TVN thing, I can tell you that right now. He's not the prosperity. I believe he's a faith man, but he's not the prosperity folk, you know. The gold seats and all the other garbage, you know. He's not going to put up with that kind of garbage. He doesn't believe in that. He's got a good common sense understanding. The Lord showed him about the church in tribulation. He's got some understanding there. And he's preparing people. And I'd like you to agree with me that the Lord will supply his needs and bring in the money to do what he's got to do. You know, on our site, we don't actually have any videos there, because video is a hard thing to do on the internet. It's really, it hadn't been perfected yet, and there's lots of bugs in it. So what we did was we put the audios from the video conferences that I've done and put the slides in there so that people can click through the slides and listen to it. But he's getting rigged up to where he can do actual video. And I told him I was going to be one of his first customers as soon as he got that fixed up, you know, because we're going to put them videos out there, you know. Because everywhere those videos are going, I mean, people are getting really a revival in their life, you know. And consider it, and having faith for the things that are coming. So many people are afraid of the things that are coming. They don't have any faith, you know. They don't have any boldness. And They've been feeding on too much paranoia out there about the things that are coming and how terrible the world looks and all that. You know, you got to keep your eyes, you know, like Paul said, I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. So many of God's people are out there studying the evil that they're just so full of fear and doubt and unbelief. What good would it do for them to go into any kind of trial, you know, because they're just not there, you know. And we don't need all that, folks. We need the Word of God in our heart. You know, remember, folks, what the Bible, what the type and the shadow is that the last 7 days before God's people left Egypt, they were warned to partake of only the unleavened bread. That's only the Word of God. Nothing added by man, you know, to make it palatable for the flesh. Just the unleavened bread. That's what Jesus preached, the unleavened bread. And that's what we want to put out there. It's just nothing but the Word of God. God's already said it. He don't need our opinion. He just needs us to repeat it, right? I mean, obviously, you know, He said that any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. That means say what God says. Don't say more and don't say less. Just say what God says. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it, you know, because you're under the curse if you do. So basically, that's what we want to do, and that's what Bob Heffel is impressed with, and that's what he wants to get out there. So I'd like us to pray. Matter of fact, I'd like us to pray right now that the Lord will bless him, provide for him. He needs a new vehicle, too, by the way, and we'll agree for that. Because our God will supply our every need according to His riches and glory. He's never failed me with the vehicle business or the house business or any of that other stuff, you know. If you've never tried God, folks, you think that there's only one way, and that's to get into debt, you know. And I tell you, debt's a problem. The Bible says a borrower, a servant to the lender. And cursed is he that trusts in suretyship. Have you ever looked that word up? Suretyship is getting in debt, borrowing and guaranteeing to pay back. God's got a better way, folks. You just, if you haven't tried Him because you never saw anybody else doing it, try Him. I haven't been in debt in 30 years. Everything I've received. In fact, I've got my house free. Got my car free. You know, if you just ask God and don't doubt that He is big enough to do it, He will do it.
Amen.
He will do it. There's nothing beyond Him. So, let's pray for this miracle. He needs a miracle of big time money. Lots more money than I need. God's opening doors, you know, without much money to do what we're doing here. But He needs some money for some big equipment, or else to get the equipment real cheap, you know. And I'm impressed with the kind of person He is, and that He can, you know, He's flat thrown people. He's pulled the plug on folks that got into things that were not edifying to God's people. And I'm impressed with that. You know, that's what we need more of in broadcasting and in television and so on and so forth. So his name is Bob Heffel, and also I'd like a favor with Frank Steffen. He's the owner and president of American Voice Radio, who's doing the other side of the thing. I'd like favor with them, that the Lord will give us good hours and so on, because we're asking certain hours from them, and hours that we know are good hours for people to be listening, you know. So we're asking for that. I'd like favor for that. And also here in our studio... In our broadcast studio over here, everybody's laughing. we need some equipment, and actually Frank is looking on the, not Frank, Bob Heffel is looking on the internet, and he already found us a mixing board, and he's looking for a telephone hybrid that we need, and a couple of mics and stuff like that, and he's going to set it all up for us, since I don't have any common sense for that kind of stuff, and he knows how to do that, and he's just helping any kind of way he can. That's a blessing.
And we could use a vendor.
A vendor?
What kind of vendor? Coats and cakes.
Oh, gosh. You got a sweet tooth. That's a sweet tooth guy over there, folks. Pray for that guy. He needs deliverance.
How do you spell Bob, or Heffel, Bob Heffel's last name?
I think it's H-E-F-F-L-E. And if you want to go to his site, it's Spirit One. That is number one. SpiritOne.us. So if you want to go to his site, and let's pray for them and agree for this, because God is, you know, just just getting the message out there in an explosive way. And you know, the prophecies that we've received is that our ministry is about to grow tenfold, and I've got prophecies from way back about this ministry and the light that it was going to go forth and all of these things. I'm talking about people that were real prophets, you know. They could read your mail, you know. So, and the Lord's given me dreams and visions and revelations and words of knowledge over the years, and some of them I'm embarrassed to tell people because they think, how's that going to happen? Well, I'll tell you how it's going to happen. Is God Almighty is going to bring it to pass. That's how. He's doing it already. You know, so let's pray. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that we are nothing and that you are all things and yes, that you can do all things through us. We can do nothing without you, Father. But we're not without you. We have you. We thank you. We do, like you said, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. We believe, Lord, in you, in us. We believe you can do in us what you did in that first body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you are going to pour forth of your latter rain power and bring forth the great ministries that you've promised us that you're going to bring forth. The man-child ministry and witness ministry. And we thank you, Lord, that we're on the verge of a great explosion and a great revival and, yes, a great falling away. But we thank you, Lord, that your elect are coming into the kingdom. Like you said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And, Lord, we know it's true. We know you're sovereign. And we know that your elect are coming in. And Lord, we just ask you to reach out to Bob because he's got that kind of vision too, Lord. He wants to touch the people. He wants good ministry. You've spoken to him already about us and given us great favor with him. And we just thank you for that because he's been a great help. And we ask you to help him to put the equipment together for us, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for blessing him to be able to put those MP3s on all those hours, Lord, that are and spread them out across the country, Lord. The countries, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for opening doors for him. And Lord, you've spoken to him about this TV business, and we know that you're... I believe the prophecies that were spoken to him, Lord. I believe them. And I'm just asking you, Father, to send the money. We know that faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. So, Lord, we give you the substance today to bring that money forth and to bring that ministry forth. We thank you for the open doors that you've given unto us. We thank you for getting the gospel out into the nations. We thank you, too, Lord, that not only that, but the satellite goes out and the AM/FM stations are going to pick up on that, off of that feed, and rebroadcast it freely all across this nation and nations. We thank you, Lord, for those people that are going to pick up on the feed and just rebroadcast it and pick up off of the internet broadcast and rebroadcast it. We thank you, Lord, that your word is going to go forth. Lord, we don't want anything but your word. We want it to be the pure, unleavened bread, as you told us to name this Bible study, the unleavened bread Bible study. That's what we want, Lord. And if in any way we're otherwise, we ask you to please correct us because we know, Lord, that the last 7 days is coming and that unleavened bread's got to go forth and that we are threatened in your precious word that if we have any leaven in our houses during those days, we'll be cut off from Israel, just as your word says. And we know the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. We know, Lord, that there's going to be a great refining of your people and a falling away of those who don't love the truth and a delusion of those that don't love the truth. But that you're going to pour out your Spirit on those that do and they're going to walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for that, Father. Because we've been eagerly awaiting seeing the ministry of Jesus in the earth again. And we thank you that it's coming all over this globe. We thank you for a great outpouring of your Spirit, a mighty outpouring of your Spirit. We thank you for sending that money to Bob. We thank you, Lord, for supplying him with a new van or a car or whatever he wants, Lord. We just thank you for that. And we thank you for sending that money to provide for his needs. Thank you for giving Frank Stephan at American Voice a favor with us, Lord, or actually giving us favor with him, Lord, and blessing him with the right hours that we need to reach the right people. We thank you for doing this, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for your awesome miracle, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father, I'm reminded that anything you order, you can pay for. Father, you own all things. And so, Father, we just ask you to bring your word to fruitfulness. Prepare the hearts of the men and women that have these needs, specifically Lord, to be positioned in such a way, in faith in his heart, in the words of his mouth, the meditations of his heart, Father, that with an attitude of gratitude, of thanksgiving for your mighty provision. Father, because the Scripture says that if we ask and our heart does not condemn us, and we know that we have what we have asked. And so, Father, we just say, so be it in the name of Jesus.
Lord, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on the faithful people that you've sent us, Lord, to do many different things, Lord, to prepare for an incoming harvest, Lord. The precious editors, Lord, that are editing the site and the articles and putting them in there, Father, for people to read, Lord, and the brethren who are working on the audios and the videos and the MP3s, Lord, polishing them up, and all the prayer warriors out there, Lord, that are praying for the people that come to the site needing help and needing prayer, Lord. And thank you, God, for blessing them and pouring out your Spirit on them and empowering them and gifting them, Lord. And all the biblical counselors, Lord, that are working from the site, Lord, to meet the needs of people and to pray for people and to give counsel to people, Lord. I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on them and give them your blessings, Father. And all the other ministers, Lord, April, who's starting a publishing house to put the books out, and all the other folks that are editing my book, and Deborah Horton, who's editing the book, and Lord, we thank you for all of these people. Lord, I hate to mention you because we have to go through about 30 of them to do that, but just ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on them, Lord. We're so grateful for them to take part in this ministry, Lord, and the people that join us online and share their wonderful testimonies, Lord. Give them boldness and pour out your Holy Spirit on them because we love to be encouraged with their testimonies. And Lord, we just, all the ministers who send out the materials here and overseas, Lord, we just ask you, God, to pour out your Spirit on them and keep their equipment and bless them with wisdom. Keep them supplied with the very best materials and the very best equipment to copy those materials and pass them out. And we thank you so much, Lord. And we thank you for supplying our every need to do your will, Lord. Lord, we have no ambition in the world as far as the world is concerned. And materialism is not entered into our hearts, Lord. We just have one interest, and that is to see your kingdom grow and your people blessed. And we just thank you for honoring that, Lord. Thank you for always supplying. Thank you for blessing the brethren. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I have a whole list of testimonies of people.
Oh, right.
I've been sending.
Praise the Lord.
Do
you have to read them, or are they going
to
get on their mic?
You don't have to read them.
All right, come on.
Bless us. We also need a hand up, but okay. Well, actually, we have two prayer requests, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4 testimonies and some questions. So, Leslie was saying, I have a testimony, still no mic, but she had asked for prayer for her daughter Sarah from the prayer team. She had a concerning first report from the doctor about some female problems that may be precancerous. I asked for prayer, and we prayed the prayer of faith and agreement. I told her we had prayed, and we just won't have this.
Amen.
I know she was battling here. She called me to pray. Yesterday, she got the doctor's report. The doctor told her before the results that she may have to be tested every 3 months to watch this. And she stops this, but God said differently.
Yes.
She got the report yesterday. Everything is perfectly normal. We had also prayed this would draw her back to the Lord.
Amen.
That's a good one.
Well, listen, you've already been inspected, folks. The great, I hate to use the word, everybody uses the word physician, but that's not true. The great healer, that's what the word iatros means, folks. People put their modern terms on something. Physician is somebody who practices medicine, practices pharmakia, which the Bible calls sorcery. Did you know that? It's just, you're trusting in another God, folks, and the Bible says, cursed is he that trusts in the arm of the flesh. Let me tell you something. Don't go and walk by sight. Don't go and look at the problem. Look at the promise. Get your eyes off the problem and look at the promise. The people that want you to go inspect the problem, they're asking you to be double-minded. Because you understand, we walk by faith and not by sight. You don't need to inspect the problem. Remember when the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were dying of the snake bites, the fiery serpents, right? What was God's cure? His cure was, he told Moses to put up a brazen serpent in the wilderness. And everybody who got their eyes on that serpent was healed of their snake bites. You know what the snake bite is, right? It's whatever the devil dishes out, right? It's the curse. It can be sickness, it can be demonic oppression or possession or lack or whatever. You know, it don't matter what it is. The truth is, the Lord already took care of it at the cross. And he became sin for us. He is the serpent on the pole. That when we get our eyes, and you when you perceive that your curse was put upon Jesus Christ on that pole, and that you don't have it anymore, you don't have to go and ask anybody if you're sick. Because you know that what the Bible says about by his stripes you were healed. You know, you were healed 2,000 years ago, folks. You don't have to accept anybody's opinion. And you don't have to get anybody to look and see if God's Word is not true. You understand? Because it's true. Let me tell you, right off, don't accept it. If you're not walking in stubborn, worldly rebellion against God, willful disobedience against God, just accept what the Bible says. If you confess your sins, accept what the Bible says, that you were healed at the cross. By his stripes, you're not going to get healed, were healed. You know? And Jesus said, when you pray, believe you have received. See? And the Bible says, by grace, have you been saved? That's what it says in the original. Have you been saved? You see, it was all done at the cross, like somebody said here earlier. It was done. So if it's done, don't ask for a second opinion. Take the Lord's opinion. Right? If he's already told you, believe it. Stand on it. And I'll tell you what, the devil can't put nothing on you. You'll back him up every time. Listen, folks. Consistently, for 30-something years, he's done this for me. He's never failed. I've raised five. Do you think if I ever thought he would fail one time, I would trust my kids with him? No, I wouldn't do it. But I know that the Word of God is true. So just be stubborn. Now, I know when you're dealing, you know, when you're dealing with children and relatives, and you got to be merciful. You got to be graceful. And the Bible says if you have faith, have it unto yourself. You can't put your faith on someone else, can you? So you're dealing with other people. You got to be merciful and graceful, and you got to offer to them the gospel. The gospel is a lot bigger than Jesus is your Savior. Because Jesus is your Savior of your body. He's the Savior of your circumstances. He's the Savior of everything. By grace have you been saved. Even that word, sozo, is translated in the Bible, made whole when people were healed. So he's the Savior of your body. And trust in him as your Savior today. Believe that he saved you today. Believe that he saved you today. You see, accept that gift, and don't worry about anybody's opinion. But when you're dealing with other people, you offer to them the gospel, and listen, if they believe that gospel, you've got authority to cast out their demons, to heal their body, to meet their needs through the spoken word. You've got authority to destroy the curse right out of your mouth. If you find somebody that believes the gospel, if you find somebody that believes the good news of these promises that are written in this book, you have authority to give them the same thing Jesus gave them. Like he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So we've got the same authority as Jesus had. He delegated it to us. We are the children of the last Adam. And as you know, the first Adam was given authority over all the works of God's hands. And he lost it because he sinned. But you know, our last Adam didn't sin. He passed that authority on to us, just like Adam would have passed it on to his children. We've got authority now, folks. Out of these precious promises, we've got authority. So if you find somebody that believes the good news, for instance, 1 Peter 2:24, that he carried away your sins and he bore your stripes, he healed your body. If you accept that, if you find somebody that accepts that good news, then you can pray with them in full faith. You have the authority. God sent you there for that purpose. You don't even need to bring them to this Bible study to agree. You can just stand right there and you pray for them and agree. And just tell them right out of your mouth, look, you're healed. Don't wait till you see anything. Tell them you're healed, you're blessed, you're delivered. So on and so forth. You just tell them that. Speak boldly. And God will be behind your every word, I'm telling you right now. Anybody else have a testimony?
Sister Bonnie had one. She said, I laid hands on our cat and her backache was healed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I tried out my faith in doing that, so now I won't be shy in doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently prayed and asked for God for the gift of discerning spirit so I can command that spirit to depart in Jesus' name. But she heard us talking about laying hands on our animals. And
absolutely.
Went and did it, which builds up her faith and knowing
sure.
that she has dominion.
Sure. Amen. God heals animals quicker than he heals humans. You know why? You're not dealing with unbelief there, folks. You're only dealing with your faith there. You understand?
That's right.
I'm telling you the truth. You yeah. try it because he'll heal yeah. your animals. Every animal we've ever had, God's healed. You see, when you're dealing with people, it's like what Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Did you hear what he said to the people? He wanted them to have faith. He wanted them to believe the gospel. And when they did, if they didn't, he provoked them. Like the Syrophoenician woman. Oh, it's not right to cast the children's bread to the dogs. But when he got that expression of faith out of her, you know, yeah, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He said, oh boy, he was impressed with that faith. You know, and the centurion, he was impressed with his faith. Yeah. You know, but when you're dealing with animals, you ain't got to, you don't have any such problem.
Even heals parvo, right?
That's right. I mean, Bob has a dog that we blessed and commanded to be healed of parvo, and God healed that dog. Yeah.
I was told my wife about that same thing, and my wife thought that the dog had parvo right now. And I told her that the dog had parvo, and she says, well, you might as well go out and bury that dog right now. And I said, what do you mean? I said, the dog doesn't have parvo anymore. So we said the dog had someone with faith to lay hands on that dog and believe for her deliverance, and that dog is healed of parvo. My wife says, well, that's not possible. I said, well, the dog's still living.
That dog couldn't,
the proof is in the pudding.
I said, the dog doesn't know that that's not possible.
Listen, the Bible says that the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but a reason of him who subjected it, and hope that the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. You know, what? The whole creation groans in travail, waiting for the sons of God to come along, folks. Who's the sons of God?
We are.
That's right. And now, when you look in the spiritual mirror by faith, and you behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3:18, you're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. You know what? You've got to accept that you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. Now, you've got to let Christ talk out of you. You've got to agree with the Word of God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So you agree with the Word of God, and you speak the Word of God just like Jesus showed you, and it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
And don't be double-minded if it doesn't happen immediately. I can tell you, most cases in my family, it didn't happen immediately. Sometimes it did, and I like to see those times, but I tell you what, it happens. It is done at the cross. It's not a matter of us dwelling in time. We don't dwell in time. Jesus Christ dwells in us. Jesus Christ is ministering through us. And when we speak the Word of God, His power goes out of us and it does the work. See? So just don't be double-minded. Hold fast to the Word. Speak the Word. Be bold. You know, He's the high priest of our confession, the Bible says. He offers before the Father what we say before man. And if we deny Him before man, He denies us before the Father. Before man, we need to say what he said. The word confess there means to speak the same as. If we confess him before man, he confesses us before the Father. Speak the same as. Say what God says. Say what the Lord said. Say the promises. Agree with the promises. You know, when you're speaking and when you're acting. And the Lord will be behind you every word. We won't let him fall to the ground. Yeah, Buff, go ahead.
I was driving to my office one day and I hit a female blackbird with my car. She flew in front of me and I smacked her. She goes rolling down the gutter there, and I stopped and picked her up and took her to my office. And the bird was still alive but was paralyzed on one side of its body. Its right wing and right leg would not function. So I picked him up and took her and gave her a little drink of water from the fountain there. Took her back outside and held her up to the Lord and I said, Lord, I bless this bird in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. And then I took her and set her up on the hood of my car. And she stood up, took both wings, and just kind of looked at them, just kind of held them out and looked at them, tried, gave them a little try. And I swear that bird hopped over to within about 2 inches of my face and chirped at me and then turned and flew off. Mm-hmm. I believe that creature absolutely said thank you.
Absolutely.
To its creator. Amen. For the grace that it had received.
I had one like that I prayed over one time, and then released the bird, and the bird went back down to the ground. And so I went back over, picked the bird up, and I spoke to the bird. I said, no, maybe we didn't hear this right the first time. Mm-hmm. And I prayed again in the name of Jesus, and the bird was healed, and I released the bird again, and that time the bird did fly away.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
And
teach your kids, because your kids will do it. I mean, my kids have laid hands on animals and blessed them. We got a dog that was the funniest thing you ever saw. Call him Poochie. Not long after we moved here, I'll tell you, it's hard to describe what was wrong with that dog, but there was something wrong with his nerves. His rear end would be in one gear, and his front end would be in another gear. And he'd fall over every time he tried to walk. And if he tried to run, it was a laugh. But we knew his wires were mixed up somewhere in there. So we just commanded him to be healed. And actually, I prayed over him and asked the Lord to make him run like a deer. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You never saw anything like that in your life. That dog runs just like a white-tailed deer. I don't know, some of you hunters out there, you ever seen a white-tailed deer bouncing through the woods? Bouncing up in there and looking around and bounce coming down and bouncing again. Just bouncing. They bounce up in there and they look around like that and come. That's exactly what this dog. You could take a ball and throw it out across a grassy yard, and that dog would go bouncing out across that yard. He'd bounce up in the air, look, and come back down. You know, just like that. It was amazing. You know, be careful what you pray for, because he'd run just like a deer. And the Lord fixed all his wiring. You know, he was wired right. God's faithful. So yes, pray over your animals, pray over your vehicles, pray over everything, because it don't matter what it is. God is behind your words. Remember, you're looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. Who is that lives in you? Are you counting on you being able to do this? You see, what Paul said, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Amen. We are the body of Christ. It's got to be the... Listen, when you're looking in the mirror, make sure it's the Jesus of the Bible that you're looking at. Not some other Jesus, not some dead, worthless Jesus that religion has these days, you know. You got the same Jesus, you see. He lives in you. You permit your mouth to agree with this word, and you confess him before men, you know, yeah, step out on a limb. The devil tells you, yeah, you're going to look stupid because you're going to say something that's not going to come to pass. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because he will not let you be put to shame. Romans chapter 10. Amen. He will not let you be put to shame. You understand? You confess it before men, and he will confess you before the Father. Confess him. Speak the same as. If you have the authority over the creation, speak it. You got moles in your yard? You got ants in your yard? Command them out of it in the name of Jesus. You got animals that are sick? Command them healed. You got children that are sick? Command them healed. Now, as long as something's under your authority, you don't have to ask for any faith. But when you're talking about other people, other families, you know, in most cases, you need to share with them the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes it. See, there's the condition, folks. Don't go out there thinking that you've got authority over everybody in the world. You've got authority when they believe the gospel. You know you've got authority when they believe the gospel. So you offer to them the good promise that has to do with their problem. And when they accept that promise, you just give them the gift. You're the one. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And what did the brothers say before the temple? Such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and be healed.
Amen.
See, we have this gift. He called it the children's bread. See, and he gave us authority over this creation, and he put everything under our feet. Did you understand that? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, I think it is. Gave him to be the head of the body and put all things under his feet. Well, that's the feet of the body, folks. Do you understand? Even if you're the lowest member of the body, that's the feet. You know, you still have authority over this creation and the devil.
Yes. I would, you know, we base our faith, our belief, our hope on the Word of God. And I have a little something I'd like to share with you out of Job chapter 22, verse 21 through 30. And I'll just read this out loud for you. And there's some immensely powerful promises in here. Yield now and be at peace with him, him being God, and thereby good will come to you. Please receive instruction from his mouth and establish his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness far from your tent, and place your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks, then the Almighty will be your gold and choice silver to you. For then you will delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. And you will pray to him, and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you. And the light will shine on your ways. When you are cast down, you'll speak with confidence. And the humble person, he will save. He will, here's an interesting promise, verse 30. He will deliver one who is not innocent, and he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands.
Mm-hmm.
We oftentimes believe that, you know, we can't get our prayers answered if we're praying for an unclean person. And that is really not true. God delights to magnify himself in the eyes of the wicked through answered prayer, so that they can know that there's a God in heaven who hears and answers. So here's a promise for you to believe for your unsaved friends and relatives that God will honor your prayers on their behalf.
Yes, amen. And anybody that you have authority over that's in your house or in your family or that you're responsible for, you have authority in that case. You don't have to have faith in them. The Lord has shown me this over and over. He confirmed it with dreams and visions. You don't have to have faith for them. But everybody Jesus came to was unclean, folks. We're not talking about born-again people even he was coming to. He said the least in the kingdom of heaven was greater than the greatest of the Old Testament, which was John the Baptist. You know, the least in the kingdom of heaven. You know, we're in the kingdom of heaven, folks. And we've got that authority. You know, Jesus did say that if these people continued in their uncleanness, and didn't show their appreciation for the gift that God gave them by walking by faith in the gospel afterwards, that they would lose it. I mean, that's in Matthew chapter 12. In fact, he talked about this generation. The last verse there in verse 45 says, "Even so shall it be unto this evil generation." Of course, that was the generation of the Jews who had a covenant with God, and Jesus was sent first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He gave it to them because they had a covenant. Now, we've got a better covenant based on better promises, so it's surely for us. But here's what he said to them. He said, "But the unclean spirit, when he's gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. And then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished." Now, first of all, folks, they say, first of all, he was casting demons out of covenant people. He was healing people that some of them had spirits of infirmity. Covenant people. Don't buy that stupid lie that Christians can't have demons. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, 99% of them I've cast out of over the years have been Christians. They say, it's not possible. That's a lie. Jesus was casting them out of covenant people. We are New Testament Jews who are circumcised in heart. You know, and we've been grafted into the olive tree that he called in Romans 11, all Israel. We have. Okay, and he went on to say here, he found it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this evil generation. Now, who was he talking to? He said, "I have only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He was talking about God's people, folks. So, they did lose it. You can give a gift to someone, and God will prove the power of the gospel, and he will honor your faith. And if they don't do something with what God's given them, they will lose it. Don't say, you know, people say today that when people lose it, that didn't happen in Jesus' day. Well, it did happen in Jesus' day. I got news for you. He says so right here. That whole generation lost the great gift that God gave to them of deliverance and healing and provision. They lost it. And they fell into the dark ages shortly after that. You know, there was a great falling away. Exactly what happened to Christianity. Because as you know, Christianity has walked in the steps of the Jews. And they have rebelled against God, rebelled against their covenant, and accepted another Jesus, basically. And lost everything that was given to them in the very beginning. Well, Jesus is coming back, folks. And I know some of you have heard that he's coming back as an epiphany before he comes back as a parousia. He's coming back in his people before he comes back for his people. And when he comes back in his people, it isn't going to make any difference what kind of flesh he walks in. You know it didn't make any kind of flesh, any kind of difference what kind of flesh he walked in his day. He was called the Son of David according to the flesh. Did you know that? His flesh came from David. It was real flesh, folks, because he was tempted in all points, just like us, except without sin. And a man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It was real flesh. You can't be tempted by something that's not flesh. And that was flesh passed on from David, folks. Now, does it make any difference what kind of flesh he dwells in today? It's still just the vessel of clay. That's all it is. It's the one who lives inside that counts. And I'm going to tell you who that is. If you're putting the Word of God in your heart, then that's Jesus in there. And he has all power, just like he had in that day, to deliver from the curse and to bring God's provision. And he lives in you. Folks, he don't have any other hands in the earth. You are his hands. To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? He gives strength to the hand. But you read Isaiah 53 very carefully, and you will discover that his hands are his disciples. He is the arm. The arm gives strength to the hand, you see. But what he speaks to the lost on this earth, he's going to speak through you. And when he heals them, he's going to do it through you. If you're waiting for God to do it out of heaven and ignore the method which he ordained, then you're in God's way. You're just in his way. That's all. You're supposed to be the vessel through whom he will flow. So you repent. You speak the truth of the gospel. He gave it to you to pass on to all the people around you. Take your authority seriously and go and do. Go and do. You don't need to be... Listen, for so many years, the pastors, most of them have not walked by faith. And they've preached a half gospel, or even less. They've kind of made the people of God dependent upon them for healing, for deliverance, for all these things. People come to church, they go there to get their deliverance through the pastors. It's like the Nicolaitan era, folks, that's what it was, is that there's somebody between you and God, a specialist, somebody in authority between you and God. No, the truth is, the Lord wants you to go out there and do the works of Jesus Christ. If you're a disciple, you're ordained to go forth and to heal the sick and to cast out devils. He said, these signs shall accompany them that believe. Do you believe? Well, then, these signs will follow you. Just go and believe that. And step out and speak the word and lay hands on and do these things. You don't need to bring them to anybody. Now, the pastors have made you dependent upon them in the past. But that's not what we're doing here. We're sharing with you the gospel so that you can go out there and do it. Listen, God wants to have a geometric progression here. You know what that is? It starts with one, it goes to two, it goes to three, it goes, you know. Every disciple makes disciples, and in the order of the first disciples, by the way. That's the only authority we have. Jesus sent out his first disciples. He said, told them to make disciples. And he said, you teach them to observe everything I told you. Well, that would have made the second generation disciples just like the first, and the third generation disciples just like the first, and the fourth generation, that's right. That was his plan. So, that was thwarted because of dead religion. Okay? Now, it's being begun again. Here. See, you don't bring everybody back to the first disciples to pray for them. You go, and you do it. You pray for them. You command them. You're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. Don't be dependent on anybody else. Take your discipleship seriously and go and do it. Yeah, bro.
You mentioned a few moments ago that when you step out in faith, whether you're laying hands or praying for someone or you're on the receiving end, that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. I've got a real quick testimony. 2 years ago, I had skin cancer, 5 different lesions in different places. And a brother named Thurman laid hands on me, and you know him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and and I didn't see the lesions leave, mm-hmm. But I thanked the Lord for my healing right then, and I praised Him for being mighty and coming through for me. And literally 2 weeks went by, and every morning I woke up, I looked in the mirror with great anticipation, waiting to see God's miracle. And 2 weeks had gone by, and actually it was the, I believe it was the 10th, the 8th day of a 10-day fast that God had asked me to go on. It was my birthday two years ago. In fact, February 22nd, in 2 days, it'll be 2 years. I woke up on my birthday, looked in the mirror, and it was gone. And, you know, 2 weeks had passed, and I'm not sure exactly why, unless God was just wanting to build my faith through the intervening 2 weeks. But I can say from personal experience that I've personally seen God heal people in front of my eyes immediately. Amen. And I've also personally experienced it not happening immediately. Yeah. But I thanked Him and I praised Him right there and then anyway, despite what my eyes saw, because I can choose to go based on what my eyes of my brain sees or the eyes of my heart sees.
That's right.
And if he says it, that settles. And so, I just wanted to share that.
So, you know what, folks? In most cases, you're going to endure a trial of your faith. What is a trial of your faith? When you see something contrary to what you believe and what you have spoken, that's a trial of your faith. But tribulation worketh patience. You know that if you got everything instantly, the first time you didn't, your faith would fall on the floor. The truth is, you've got to learn to not walk by sight. We're in sonship training. We're learning to walk as sons of God.
Yes.
That doesn't come when you get things immediately every time. It comes through enduring the trial of your faith. Tribulation worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. You don't get that without trials of your faith. Well, Jesus got everything. No, he didn't. Go back and read, folks. He didn't always get everything immediately. You take the 10 lepers, for instance.
That's right.
You know, he didn't always get everything immediately. And besides, what difference does it make? You have to live with what you have and what God's giving you. You just do what he commands you to do, and you walk by faith, and you endure the trial of your faith, and you will see God's answer. Just like Stephen, right, brother?
That's right.
Stephen? Just like Stephen did. He endured the trial of his faith, and he saw the answer. I had a brother a few years ago tell me, we prayed for him right here, as a matter of fact. We prayed for him for his eyes. He took his glasses off. And about 2 weeks later, he says, David, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, he says, I look at these pages, and they're just, I need to be able to look at these pages. I says, I forget exactly what I told him, but whatever it was, it brought the healing to him. One thing I think I told him was, you still got those glasses? Oh yeah, I put them over here in the drawer. Well, what do you got them there for? You think you might need them one day or something?
Fall back position.
Backup plan.
Yeah.
So you might need to burn some bridges behind you, brother. You know what? Just about a week after he did burn that bridge, he was healed.
Praise God.
Amen.
You know? Amen. Don't plan on going back, and don't plan on ifs. This is not an if thing. This is certain. It's already been done by Jesus Christ. He already accomplished it. And it's not even... Listen, if you're trying to... You know, the brother said, you prayed one time. How many times do you have to pray if you believe you have received? Everything else ought to be thanking God, just like he said. Thanking God. Praising God, you know? You know, what does praise mean? What does hallelujah mean? It means to brag on what he has done. Boast on what he has done. What has he done? He healed you. He delivered you. He met your needs at the cross.
Amen.
It's accomplished. You don't have to waste any more time trying to convince him. Don't waste your breath and don't dishonor him. He said, when you pray, believe you have received, or believe you received. That's what it says in the original. Received. It's past tense. Did you know that?
Okay.
And then if you do that one time and you're never double-minded, I'm not denying that there's different kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of importunity, but there's also the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is when you believe you have received. And if you believe you've received, how many times do you think you have to pray? You know, listen, folks, it's just total carelessness. You just put it in God's hands by faith. You believe it, you receive it, and you thank him for it from then on. It's yours. You know, and faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. While there's no evidence seen. It is the substance. Don't expect God to make something without substance. You give him the substance. See? And he will give it. He will fix your miracle. He will make your miracle, right?
And the testing of our faith is more precious than gold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, gold represents security. If you have gold, you have the power to buy what you have need of. Okay? So if our faith is being tested, it's more precious than the security that gold can provide.
Absolutely. Yeah, the best security.
More valuable too.
Man. Absolutely.
More valuable too. But there, listen, people are storing up their gold for the days to come, folks. But let me tell you something that's a lot more valuable. Faith.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Since they're going to throw their gold in the streets, it's going to be worth that much. You know, they can fill potholes with it.
Store up treasures in heaven.
The truth is, wherever faith is the victory that overcomes the world, there ain't nothing faith won't get you. I mean, whatever's been stored up in the treasures of heaven, you know, is yours wherever you need it, because God will supply your every need. Faith is more precious than gold, and the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Yeah. So endure the trial, speak the word, give thanks to God. There is a prayer of importunity. You say, well, David, I don't have that kind of faith. First of all, let me tell you something. That's not the truth.
What is that? I don't know what importunity means.
Importunity means pray till you get faith.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So I'm not denying that, but I want to say something else. Where was I?
Just talking about praying.
No, praying the prayer of faith. I was going somewhere in my mind. I lost it. Help me, Lord. Praying the prayer of importunity is praying. Some people, let me tell you a mistake some people pray when they pray the prayer of importunity, is that they think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. Jesus said that's not true. The prayer of importunity has got to end up somewhere, folks. It's got to end up at faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. And the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. A prayer of importunity has got to end up somewhere. I'm going to tell you where it's got to end up. Faith. You read some of the old importune warriors that used to pray that way. First of all, if you've had to pray that way about everything, you wouldn't be doing nothing but praying. That's what the prayer of faith is for. The prayer of importunity is second best, folks.